Hi. Me again. Philippians 2. Okay, Philippians 2. I want to share on that we can't wait for somebody else to do it. All right? It's up to us to do it. So let's start in Philippians chapter 2 and verse 13. I think somebody read this. It says, "For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure." So who's Philippians written to?
Us.
Yes, us in this room, everybody here. So that you is you and me and all the other believers. And it's God working in us to will and to do of his good pleasure, what he wants done, right? God could have just done it all himself. I'm pretty sure he's capable of it. But God chose to work in people. That's how it is. You may not like it. I may not like it. It's not up to me, and it's not up to you. He made the decision a long time ago, and that's how he wants it, and that's how it is. He works in people, and you are one of them, and I am one of them. And that's how he wants it, and that's how it is. All right? That's how it is. So that's the deal. God works in people. That's how he gets things done, primarily. He doesn't come down himself and do it. He has people that he's called, and we're his kids, right? Before, it was a called-out group of people. It was the children of Israel, right? And before that, there were a bunch of, it was Adam and Eve, right? But now he's got sons and daughters. That's us, and that's how he wants to get things done, is by working in us. And it's not just to work in us. It's to work in us to, this will is like to wish or to desire, you know? And like when you're at something like this, you want to do the word more than probably when you came here, right? I do. Because you've heard so much of it, right? That desire is God working in you. It's this verse. It's God working in you to want to do his word more, right? And then that do is just to work, to do, like to get it done. It's an active work. And that's what we're supposed to be about, this active work for God. It's not a sit on the couch type of situation. If you go to Colossians 2, another classic. I used to call these, now that's what I call Believer Verses, Volume 1, but I don't think that reference makes sense to most of you in this room anymore. Those are like these commercials for like, they just had like every song on the radio. I don't know who bought the, actually, I think I knew somebody that did have a couple of them. But it was like every hit song on the radio and they would just put them on CDs and then they would sell them on TV. Anyway, they're the verses we go to over and over, and Colossians 2:10 is certainly one of them. It says, "And you are what?
Complete.
You're complete in him," and that's that word that is like full, completely full. It's like you have a hole and now there's no hole. Okay? Because it's completely filled, right? And the text here is like, it's like completely, completely, absolutely what?
Completely.
That's what we are, right? And we're complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power. That's Christ Jesus, right? That's our brother sitting on the right hand of God right now. And we're these ambassadors. Tim said this definition, an ambassador needs to know, not a definition, but needs to know the interests, policies, and viewpoints of the nation he represents. And I was like, that's pretty cool. So I Googled it, because I was like, I bet that's verbatim. He got it from somewhere. Did you say where you got it from? So, but do you know what website it was? It was Indeed. Do you guys know what Indeed is? So it's a job description. So whose job description is that? Yours. Mine. That's your job description. That's an ambassador. You need to know the interests, policies, and viewpoints of the nation of Jesus Christ. All right? We're ambassadors for him. It's our job. And Tim shared so beautifully on Jesus Christ's love, right? He loved with the love of God. That was one of his policies. I want to show another one of his policies here in John 5. It was a very important policy of his. And it's to be our policy. John chapter 5. His viewpoint. So he's the head. You know, we take the place of the absent Christ. We've heard that a bunch this weekend. Again, if God wanted it some other way, guess what? It'd be some other way. but it's not. It's this way because this is the right way. It's you're called, this is your job, you're born again, and you're an ambassador because this is what God wanted, right? This is the plan. You know that, right? This was the big plan he had, that he kept a secret. It was so important, he didn't tell anybody about it. You and me. This situation we're in right now, that ambassadorship, it's a huge deal. And in John 5, verse 30, Jesus Christ says, I can of mine own self do what?
Nothing.
It's kind of crazy. I can of mine own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just because I'm a super genius and handsome too. But enough about me. Let's see what Jesus Christ says. Okay. What's he say? He doesn't seek his own will. He doesn't seek his own will. Why was his judgment just? Why was he right? Not because he was right. You understand that? Because God was right. Because he didn't care about what he thought. And it wasn't about how handsome and smart he was or any of that. It wasn't about his sparkling personality. It was about God's will. That's all it was about to him, and that's all it's supposed to be about to us. You know, we've all got strengths and weaknesses. It doesn't matter because this is the policy of Christ, the head, right? This is who we represent. And he said, I can of mine own self do nothing. So don't feel bad about that. That's the Son of God, the only begotten Son of God saying the same exact thing, right? I can of mine own self do nothing as I hear I judge. He made judgments. He decided between truth and error, right and wrong, what to do and what not to do based on what he heard from God. And how did he hear it from God? Via revelation, including the revelation of the scriptures. Because if you look at the Gospels, dude was in the Bible all the time, right? As he hears, he judges, he says. And his judgment is just because he doesn't seek his own will, but the will of the Father that sent him. That's why he was right, okay? That's why he was right. If I bear witness of myself, verse 31, my witness is not what? See, these weren't his ideas about who he was. These weren't his ideas at all. These were God's ideas, including the idea that he was the only begotten Son of God, that he was the Messiah, that he was the one that was going to save the children of Israel from their sins, and as far as I know, unbeknownst to him, us too. Because I think most of us are Gentiles in here, right? If I bear witness of myself, my witness is not true. Verse 32 says, there's another that bears witness of me, and I know that the witness which he witnesses of me is what? He believed the word about himself. You know, that's what made him who he was. That's what set him apart. I mean, obviously, he was the only begotten Son of God. But do you know why he got so much done? Do you know why he performed so many miracles? Because he believed the word about himself. You can do the same. I can do the same. And we should. We can do greater works than him. Right? Right?
Right.
That the Bible says that. Do you know that?
Yes.
Where does it say that? Somebody.
John
14, 12. Let's go. 14, we're in John. Go there. It seemed like some of you didn't know that. Why would God say, I can of mine own self do nothing? He didn't. John 14, 12. Also, God wouldn't say what I'm about to read you, okay? It says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also. And it doesn't end there, but what?
Greater works,
because I go unto my Father. Pretty cool. Go to Philippians 2. Philippians 2. This is our example. This is the head. His policies. We're supposed to abide by his policies and represent him. Take his place. Philippians 2. Verse 8. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Obedient means, literally, it means listening attentively All right, and the root that it comes from is to hear. But it's to hear with the idea of stealth, like a ninja, right? Or stillness or attention in order to answer, all right? You know when you're listening, but you're not really listening?
Yeah.
Maybe some of you are doing that right now. You know when you're listening and you're really listening? When you're really listening because you want to know what to say, right? You want to know what to answer, and you maybe want to know what to do. And that's this word for obedience. We listen, and Jesus Christ did this. He listened because he wanted to know what to do, right? That's a different kind of listening than, like, school, right? I'm not going to use any of this, right? I don't need to know calculus. That's right. I don't know it. It has never bothered me in my life. But this stuff, the stuff of God, we should want to know. You want to listen so that you can do it. And you want to listen so that you can do it now. Because the time to do it is right now. Go to 2 Corinthians 10. So it's listening to the end of obedience. And that's what he did. He was the most obedient person of all time to God. That was the secret to his success. It wasn't magic. He wasn't a magic man. That 14:12 is crazy, but it's true. It is available for us to do greater works than Jesus Christ did, including the works that he did. If you believe that about yourself, you're doing exactly what Jesus Christ did. 2 Corinthians 10:5. Yeah, casting, this is what we're supposed to do, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of what?
Christ.
So the most obedient guy of all time is the most exalted guy of all time, and that's how God does stuff, okay? And that's you and me, too. All right? It's not like such a worm as I. Dr. Merle talks about the hymn. I've never heard of that in my life. But it's not about, like, you know, what? It's not like, I don't know. People think being Christian is like being the biggest loser or something like that sometimes, right? And it's not. God exalts people who are humble. And the more you listen to God, the bigger and fuller and richer and spicier your life is. Spicy like that. What was that? What was that hot sauce called? What was it called?
Belizean
heat.
Yeah,
yes, I know there was a lot of Cholula too. It was called Belizean heat was the one I put on my Chinese food. What did you say? It was a cool little bottle. Where are we even in the Bible right now? Okay. All right, every thought. Bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, right? We want every thought. We want to be listening for what God wants me to do right now. And how do you find out what God wants you to do right now? You got the word, and then if it's not there, what can you do? Just ask. Just ask. You ask because you want to know what to do, not tomorrow, now. Because tomorrow, well, we'll get to tomorrow. Go to Romans 12. We're getting to tomorrow. I know some of you are worried that we're not going to get to tomorrow. We will. Stop worrying. Romans 12, verse 4. Aaron shared stuff along this line so beautifully, and I don't have to for the most part, but I want to hit this. It says in Romans 12, 4, for as we have many members in one body and all members have not the same office. So this is kind of a cool word. It's a doing. It's praxis is the Greek word, okay? It's a doing. It's like it's an action in progress. It's like what you do regularly, okay? Like, what's my business? What am I about? What do I do? All right? And it says all members don't have the same thing. We don't all do the same stuff regularly. So we, verse 5, being many, are one body in Christ, and everyone members one of another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that's given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of what? Some people are really good at bringing forth manifestation of prophecy or speaking on behalf of God, okay? So you're supposed to, like, do that. You're supposed to do that. Seven, or ministry. Let's wait on our ministering. Or he that teacheth on, guess what?
Teaching.
Okay. Or he that exhorteth on exhortation. Or he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity or integrity. He that ruleth or leads with diligence. And he that shows mercy with cheerfulness. You're supposed to try to be the best at what you do. And if you go down to verse 11 here, it says, not slothful in business, fervent in the spirit, serving the Lord. And that business is diligence. It's diligence. That spude, some of us know, spudazo. It means speed, it means haste, it means earnestness, and it means zeal. Do you know what zeal is? Yeah, it's an eagerness of desire to accomplish or obtain some object. It is not something you wait to do. It's something you want to do right now. And you're going after it, guess when?
Right now.
And we're not to be slothful in this. Here's a couple translations of this. Verse 11. Never lag in zeal and earnest endeavor. Be aglow and burning with the Spirit, serving the Lord. That's the Amplified. Do not be sluggish in diligence. Be fervent in the things of the Spirit, serving the what? Lord. Now. Right? Diligence is about, it's about doing it right, but it's about doing it now. Doing it right and doing it now. And that's when we're supposed to do our stuff. In Acts 1. Acts chapter 1. Verse 7. And he, Jesus Christ, said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own what? Timing is God's job, okay? And when we hear something from God, whether it's in the Word or whether it's by revelation, unless it's specified otherwise, the time to do it is, guess when?
Now.
Right now. That's how God works. If God tells you something via revelation, unless he tells you tomorrow or later or whatever, he's telling you because he wants you to do it right now. Right now. God's timing is perfect. All right? His timing's perfect. We don't want to wait and miss it. And that can happen. If we're not ready, if we're not listening with the intent of, like, doing, I want to know so I can do it right now, we'll miss it. We'll miss the boat. We'll miss out on it. And we don't want to do that. I don't want that for you, and I don't want that for me. You know? The older you get, you do start to accumulate some regrets. Most of you don't have a lot of those yet. Don't have any. There's no reason not to do the word. That's good. Okay? And as I like to tell my children, delayed obedience is disobedience. Go to James 1. James 1. The people out there that need us, they don't have time. They shouldn't have to wait for me to get my act together. You know? You got it, man. You got Holy Spirit. I don't care how many fellowships you've been to. You've been here this weekend. You probably know more Bible than 99.9% of people that you will meet in, you know, for the next year. Outside of, like, this room and, like, some fellowships. For real. It's true. It's just not taught. People don't know this stuff. All you got to do is open your mouth. You'll tell them something they never heard in their life. And something really important. James 1:22 says, "But be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves." This deceiving is to reckon wrong, it's to miscount, and then it's to cheat by false reasoning. You're going to cheat yourself if you're just a hearer. And the hearers are the audience members, okay? The doers are the people that are in the game and the people on stage. And that's where we're all supposed to be. And if you're only in the audience, you're in the wrong place. You messed up. We're supposed to be in the action, not the onlookers. Anybody take psychology classes? Do you know what diffusion of responsibility is, or the bystander effect? Did anybody learn that stuff? Yeah, so some of you know what I'm talking about. So there's this phenomenon, the more people there are around, the less likely it is that somebody does anything about anything. All right, so it's like if somebody, like they've done experiments and like they'll like have somebody pretend to have a seizure or whatever, and the more people that people think are around to do something about it, the less likely they are to do anything, to step in, you know? The exception to this a lot of times is doctors or police officers or firemen, all right? And why do you think that might be? Yeah, it's their job. Guess what? It's our job. It's our job. I guess what I'm trying to say is be the fireman. Be the fireman. When there's a building on fire, most people do what?
Run away.
Or? Right? Oh, no. Like, I hope there's no one in there. And, like, I don't blame them. They don't have fire suits on, right? If you don't believe God and have Holy Spirit, like, you will just burn to a crisp and die if you go in there, right? I don't blame them for not sacrificing themselves for, like, maybe there's a dog in there or something, right? But who runs in? The firemen. Because it's their job. Because they've got what it takes. They're equipped. And it's their job. It's your job. You're the fireman. Be the fireman. Run in. If there's a need, you take care of it. Don't wait for me to do it. Guess what? I probably didn't see it. I'm pretty clueless most of the time, to be perfectly honest with you. Okay? I can get up here and yell pretty good, I guess. But for the most part, I'm kind of dumb. So if you see something going on, I probably didn't. Guess who's got to do something about it? You do. God called you. He called me too. I was about to be like, not me. Yes, he did call me. He called me. Look, man, if you see something, and like that includes like the word, you know? Like don't think like just because it's like Dean's there and like Dean's, you're like, oh, Dean knows the whole Bible or something, right? There's no way he missed this. It's like, it's not that he missed it. Like Dean's got a lot going on. This is the body of Christ. Dean's got a lot of stuff to do. Or maybe, just maybe, it's yours to do. Okay? It's yours to do. You step in. You do it. That's what this life's about. That's how we help each other. That's how we move the word. You know? It's like Aaron kept saying, it's like, you understand, right? It's like, there's people I will never meet that are in your life. I'll never meet them. I'll never hear their names. I will meet them at the gathering if you speak the word to them and they believe. That's when I'll meet them, right? And it's the same for me. There's people that I affect that you don't have the same direct effect on. Your believing does, right? What we're doing here is affecting the world. You should believe that too. But be the fireman. It's your job. It's a calling. Proverbs 3. So we're cheating ourselves, James says. We're cheating ourselves if we're just hearers, if we're just audience members, all right? We're supposed to be in it. And, like, don't miss your cue. Don't miss your line, okay? Because there isn't an understudy, right? Don't bank on that. There's stuff you can do. I'm telling you, man. You don't know. You don't know till you're in it and you let God work in you. And like, you might think you're the worst person. Look, the stuff that I do on a semi-regular basis spiritually is the stuff I least wanted to do. Okay? That's kind of been the pattern in my life. And guess what? I've had a great life because I listened to God and he told me to do a bunch of stuff that I kind of didn't really want to do. And he was right and I'm stupid. Like we said before, okay? We established that. Proverbs 3, 27. It says, withhold not good from them to whom it is due when it's in the power of thine hand to what? If you can do something for somebody, do it. And the next verse says, say not to thy neighbor, go and come again. And what? Tomorrow, when we read tomorrow, I want you to go, boo. Tomorrow?
Boo.
No. Don't say I'll do it tomorrow when you what? You have it with you. Just do it now. Do it now. You can't wait till tomorrow. There might not be a tomorrow, dudes. Do it now. If you can do the will of God, do it now. And you can. And you do it. Do not wait for somebody else to do it. Go to Proverbs 27. Don't wait. Verse 1, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. Look, this is a different administration. In our administration, Jesus Christ could come back tonight, right? So, again, the time to do it is now. It doesn't have to be morbid. It doesn't mean, like, I might kick the bucket, right? You don't have to think that way. But you can think that Jesus Christ might come back, or the opportunity could just slip through your hands. You know the adversary is trying to prevent whatever that thing that you know you're supposed to do is, he wants to stop you from being able to do it. So don't let him get a toehold. Just get in there, dude. Get in there. Go to Ecclesiastes. It's to your right. It's to your immediate right in your Bible. Go to Ecclesiastes chapter 9. Yeah, man. Today is the thing. Today. Ecclesiastes 9, verse 10 says, whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy what?
Give it
all you got, man. Give it all you got. For there's no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave whither thou goest. Okay, so like I said, we don't have to get morbid. This is a different administration. Jesus Christ will come back, right? But the point is, you do not have all the time in the world. And young people, that is one thing you don't have on old people. It's harder for you to wrap your head around this, but I'm telling you, get busy, man. This is the time. This is the time. You know, the older you get, the more you go, man. Right? I don't have forever. I do not have forever, right? And it gets harder. You have accumulate more weight in all this. You're as free and clear as you're ever going to be. That's what I'll say, all right? Do it. You will not regret it. You will never regret doing the word of God, I'm telling you. Do it with your might. Verse 11 says, I return, saw under the sun that the race is not to the swift, the battle to the strong, or the bread to the wise, nor the riches to the men of understanding, nor yet favor to men of skill, but time and chance happens to them what?
All.
Do it now. All right? You might think you can pick winners. Uh-uh. You've got Holy Spirit, all right? It's not for somebody else to do. Verse 12 says, forget it. Go to chapter 11. That's also to your right. Verse 1 says, cast thy bread upon the waters. And that's like, this is talking about seed, okay? This is like pretend you're a farmer, okay? That's what this is, all right? And the bread is your seed, all right? Throw it on the water, for you'll find it after what?
Many days.
All right, let's see what the heck that means, all right? Give a portion to 7 and also to 8, for you don't know what evil shall be upon the earth. So what's the idea here we're seeing? Spread it around, right? Spread it around. Verse 3, if the clouds be full of rain, they empty themselves upon the earth. And if the tree fall toward the south or toward the north, in the place where the tree falleth, there it shall be. What does that mean? It means just as silly and stupid as you think it means. It just means whatever's gonna happen, whatever happened, happened. If the clouds are full of rain, they're gonna rain. If the tree falls to the north, guess where it falls? To the north. If it falls to the south, where does it fall to? Okay, read verse 4. If you observe the wind, if you're a farmer, if you observe the wind, you're not gonna sow. And if you regard the clouds, you're not gonna reap. If you are waiting for the perfect time to do God's word, you will wait forever, okay? And a farmer knows this, right? You got to plant. It doesn't matter if it's nice out. You got to plant or you will not have food to eat when the time of harvest comes. And then your family will starve, all right? You cannot wait until the conditions are perfect. They will never ever be perfect. And there will always be a reason not to do the word. It will never be good enough. It might be a good reason, but it will never be good enough. And so our answer should be, don't care. All right? The adversary will give you reason after reason after reason after reason why you shouldn't do it or why you don't need to do it now. You could, you know, just don't bother them, right? They're busy, right? They look like they might get mad if I talk to them. Is that revelation? Do you have all the time in the world? What if they leave? What if that's it? It's silly. That's sense knowledge. If you know what you need to do, do it now. Let's keep reading. As thou knowest, verse 5, not what is the way of the spirit, nor how the bones do grow in the womb of her that is with child, even so thou knowest not the works of God who maketh all. God just does incredible stuff. All we're supposed to do is sow seeds. Just spread it around. And God makes all the crazy stuff happen, right? You know when those seeds is encoded, like the whole tree, right? The genetic profile of that tree. And it just sits in the ground and gets some water. And these enormous things come up, right? God does that. God set that up, right? The seed just needs to hit the soil. That's what we do. Don't wait. Don't wait to speak the word. Don't wait to reach out to that person. Don't wait to say that thing that you know you're supposed to say. Say it. In the morning, verse 6, sow thy seed, and in the evening withhold not thine hand, for thou knowest not whether shall prosper either this or that, or whether maybe it's all good. Just do it. Just friggin' do it. James 4. James 4. This whole life, this whole world, dude, is like, it's designed to slow us down from this stuff, right? It's all distraction and stress and tricks, you know? I'm really fascinated with, like, magic tricks and con men because the adversary uses that stuff. You know that, right? Like, he's a con man, right? And con men... they make you confident, right, when you have no control at all. They make you think it's your idea, right? And Jesus Christ didn't fall for that because he wasn't seeking his own will. He was only seeking whose. So once he knew the will of God, that was it. And if we keep it that simple, we won't fall for the tricks, all right? James 4, verse 13 says... Go to now. And it's like, come now. You that say, today or tomorrow. Thank you. We will go into such a city. You did get me. And continue there for a year and buy and sell and get gain. Right? I got it all figured out, right? I got my 5-year plan. Or like, I know how we're gonna get rich, boys, right? I got it. I figured it out. It's Bitcoin. But this Bitcoin is, it's the Snickers Bitcoin or whatever, right? I know it. It says you don't know what's going to be tomorrow. You don't know, right? It's like, this is a sure thing. No such thing except God's word, dude. For what is your life? Your life is a vapor. It's like smoke. Smoke, a wisp of smoke. You see it and then it's what? Gone. This life, eternity's coming. We heard that from Al, and it's going to be great, right? So this isn't the worst news in the world, frankly. But as far as like getting stuff done on earth here, it's, whew. Don't let it slip through your fingers. Don't let it pass you by. It appears a little time, then it vanishes away. What you're supposed to say, what I'm supposed to say is, if God wills, I'll live and do this or do that. What's God want me to do? Right now, what's God want me to do? And that's what I'm going to do. That's what I'll do right now. What should I do today? Find out. It's easy to find out, believe it or not. It's easy to find out. It says, I guess you rejoice in your boastings. Please don't, because it's evil, it says. And the last verse here says, therefore, to him that knows to do good and doesn't do it, to him it is what? It's sin. You will regret it. So don't regret it. Do it. Don't not do it. Do it. Ephesians 4. Ephesians 4. Verse 3. That word endeavoring is that diligent word. You're supposed to be zealous. You're supposed to get busy doing this. And what are we supposed to get busy doing? Keeping the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. This is putting forth a diligent effort to guard the unity that is from the Spirit in the uniting bond of peace. Or be eager and strive earnestly to guard and keep the harmony and oneness of and produced by the Spirit in the binding power of peace. Don't wait to make the peace. Don't wait to make the peace. You know, you guys have like so, there's so much that you can do if you stick together and build each other up in believing. If there's a rift, if there's a schism, if there's a break, do not wait. Repair it and move on. Don't wait. If you see a problem, who's supposed to handle it if you see the problem? You. 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 And verse 4 says, there's one body, one spirit, even as you are called in one hope of your what? And a calling is a summons or an invitation. You've been summoned. You've been called. It's your invitation to live this life. Yours. By who? God. God called you to a job as an ambassador. So do it now. Do it now. Proverbs 6. Proverbs 6, verse 6, says, go to the ant, thou sluggard. Go look at some ants. There's lots of them here. Go look at some ants. Why? Consider her ways and be wise, which having no guide, overseer, or ruler, provides her meat in the summer and gathereth her food in the harvest. Ants just work, right? And it's not just that they don't procrastinate. It's that they don't have someone breathing down their neck, making sure they do it, right? The ant just does it. And we've already been called, right? The goal is that you just do it. And nobody has to tell you because God already told you. You know it's your job and you just get up and go. Like the ant, and she just goes. Nobody's doing this, right? There's no drill sergeant. There's none of that. They just do it because they know that that's what they're supposed to do. And it's that simple. It was that simple for Jesus Christ, and it should be that simple for you and me. And the fullness of the life we get to live just by doing that is, it's incredible. It's John 14, 12. We're going to close in 2 Peter. So don't wait. Don't wait to talk to that person. Don't wait to speak God's word. Don't wait to manifest. Don't wait. There's no good reason. We got to leave our excuses at the door, man. Because we're complete. 2 Peter 1 says in verse 5, it says, and beside this, giving all diligence, right? This is, we should do it now and we should do it good. Add to your believing virtue, and to virtue, knowledge, and to knowledge, temperance, and to temperance, patience, and to patience, godliness, and to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, the love of God. The time to do these things is right now. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, you can sit there and listen to this and not bear any fruit. You could sit and listen to the Bible all weekend and not bear any fruit. If you do it, you will see the fruit in your life. Your life will bear fruit and you will see the greatness of what God can do with somebody that believes his word. Verse 9 says, he that lacks these things is blind, can't see afar off, and has forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Instead, what we're supposed to do is give diligence. Now, make your calling and election sure. You need to believe that you are called, that you are the elect, that you are the ambassador for Christ now. Okay? That's it.